Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The Godhead wants to create and develop things, take pleasure in humanity, and bless us in all things. The Hebrews failed to understand that God can experience emotions, and he was furious with their incessant doubt and unbelief, idolatry, and persistent rebellion. This is why Jesus told Moses that he did not want to continue accompanying the Hebrews into the promised land. Moses interceded, and Jesus was moved by his determination and relented. Mankind was created in the image of God, and this includes a spectrum of positive and negative emotions, and we should take our Creator's needs into account. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And it's going to be an unusual sermon today that I don't think that I ever have preached on. And the title is, God Has Emotions Too. So let's get into the Word. Before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for the few moments here that we have here today around the Word of God. And I pray, Father God, that you will minister, open up the Word to us, and help us, Father God, to walk in such a way that we will please you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you want to get ready with scriptures, I would have you turn to Numbers 12:9. That's my first scripture this morning. And I want to read the first section here in my outline. And this is where we were last week. After Moses and the Levites executed the ringleaders responsible for the golden calf, Jesus sent a plague upon the people to chastise them. And then the God had passed the virtual Tangren because they were frustrated that the Hebrews did not understand that rebellion was infuriating to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I've been walking with the Lord since 1965. And I just had a revelation this week as I prepared this message that I have really, in reality, I have never thought about that God has emotions. I knew he had emotions, but that he has needs. He's all sufficient. I mean, he can survive without us. But God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they like when we appreciate things. We're not mentioning any names here, that I had a man in his congregation, but he's a very giving man. And he's raised three sons. And he's always giving and so on. And one of the things that I heard over the years is that he said over and over again, my boys do not really appreciate. They take me for granted. Dad is always there. Dad would always get us through. Dad would bail us out. But Dad also have a need. And the need is that we need to be simply know that people are thankful. So, I thought about this. How many times a day do I just simply slow down and say, well, Father God, I just want to take time there this morning and say thank you for creating me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for being my daddy. You know, most of the time, we rush through life. We're busy working. And then we ask God, God, I need more money. God, I need a healing here. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need that. You know, I mean, it's always God, I need, God, I need. But we really should slow down and simply say, I want to take time today and say, thank you. I am thankful and I do love you. What does emotion mean? Now, they have what they call artificial intelligence. Matter of fact, the latest technology, and it might not be latest for you, but that I discovered is that they have what they call sex dolls. And that is when they have made replicas of either a human body of a woman or a man. They put in electric motors. They put in all kind of different things. They have put in the computer. They put in intelligence and so on. And they have programmed this particularly, it'd be like a robot, to perform. But it doesn't matter how skillful we are, that thing does not have any emotions. Unless you build in emotions, but they're not really that robot's emotion, somebody else had put it in. So we are made in the image of God, and to have emotions is to be on a very high awareness plateau, where you can be happy, joyful, angry, sad, thankful. All of these emotions makes us more alive. It is an awareness. An animal can have certain emotions, but it only goes so far. So our emotions can be an enemy to us if we let them control us. Or they can be a very big blessing if we flow with our emotions in the right direction. So having it as a background, now let's read Numbers 12:9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. What is anger? Anger is disappointment, something didn't work out. It's something that didn't go right. And so now, when things do not go right, God gets angry. If you turn up to Isaiah 5:25, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. He has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, the carcasses were torn in the midst of streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, God is a God of love. He's also a God of justice. And he has an emotion there of anger. So let's say that you have a child and you love the child. You give the child things. So let's say this is a son. He comes to you. He's about 25 years old. And he says, Dad, I got the opportunity to buy this house, but I don't have the down payment. Would you help me? So you said, okay, son, I'll help you with the down payment. 3 months later, you asked his son, how are you doing? Well, I lost the house. Well, how did you lose the house? I didn't make payments. Well, why in the world did you not make payments? Well, I went to the casino. And I thought I could triple my money. But instead, I lost my money. Then I lost my house. And the money you invested is gone. What's your emotion going to be? You're going to say, okay, son, I'm sure you made a mistake. That's okay, son. No, you're going to get angry. You're going to say, you are stupid enough. You took my money. I made a down payment. You're supposed to make payments, and you go and gamble, and then you come back to me and want more money. You're going to be angry. So what you're going to do is that you're going to cut him off. You're going to say, I'm not going to give you any money. I don't care if you don't have any place to live. If you got to sleep in a tent in the park, that's your problem, not mine. That's the emotion of anger. God is similar. So here he's simply to Isaiah, he's simply that. I stretched my hand, I smitten them. They died. And he simply judged them severely. Look at the United States right now. We had a tremendous financial situation a year ago for a number of years. And now we're having all kind of problems. We're going to have higher taxes. We got higher gasoline costs. I just went to Costco yesterday and going to buy some meat, and I found out the meat I bought 3 months ago cost now double. Same stuff. It doesn't matter where I go, prices are gone up. Why is that? Well, God is angry with us, so he has allowed this joker to be in the White House. And he has a bunch of people that are Marxist that are destroying the economy. And God has given us a lousy leadership as a punishment. The question now is, how do you get out of that? Well, you got to repent. Let me take it up to Psalm 149. Now, I talked about the negative stuff. So let me talk about the positive stuff. We're going to pick it up in verse number 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. I have never seen a mom and a dad that just got their newborn baby home from the hospital. And dad is so proud, and mom is so happy with that little child. And they want to stay happy with that child, but the child grows older and begin to develop his personality, that child is either going to disappoint mom and dad, or he's going to please them. So again, let me read that verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. For it is, let me go to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. For it is God who works in us, you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The next verse. Do all think without murmurings and disputings. So if you look upon your own life now, you and I can write our own tickets. In other words, God said this when he gave us birth, you were born again. He said, I love you. I want to bless you. I want to minister to you. I want to give you the world. On one occasion, you have to obey me. Simple. But most of us, We don't want to obey. We want to do it our way. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, as the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, though my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, return not thither, but waters the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hill shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God said here now, you shall go out with joy. So let me give you this picture now. God is blessing you. Let's say you got a new car, or you got some new furniture, or let's say you bought some new property, or you got something that is new. Did you ever stop and say, Daddy, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I really want to thank you for this. I'm thankful. I appreciate it. But you know, it's just like when you give birthday gifts to children. Most children never say thank you. So, mother has to work on them and say, did you thank them for that gift? Be sure to write a card. Be sure to call them. Thank you. Well, so, uncle hears that. Child calls up and says, Uncle John, I want to thank you for the gift. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what mom told you to do. But if mom hadn't told you that, you would simply not even think that I existed, except on your birthday, when you want to make sure that I remember you. That's how most people are. And God is simply saying this, you know, why don't you stop? Don't you love me? I gave that to you because I want you to have a good time. At least I thank you. But we get so busy. We got to work our new car. We got to work the new property. We got to work the new business. We got to work this. We got to work that. We don't have time. One day, you don't have any more time. In Isaiah 61, 1 through 6, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prisons to them that are bound. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourning sign, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the wasted waste cities, desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens will be your plowmen and your wine dressers. God is simply saying this. I want to bless you. Well, we like that. But now comes, should we be thankful? Let's turn to Hebrews 11 now. And I want to show you now how God thinks. Some of you have learned this before, but I want to go through with you again. We read from the first three verses here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. And then verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want to paint the pictures for you. Picture now God the Father standing here behind me on the right side. Picture the devil standing here on my left side. God now is talking to me and he's blessing me. And then the devil looks at God and said, you're spoiling him. He's not going to be thankful. And God looks at me and he's thinking, is John going to thank me? And I'm too busy. I just got this stuff. I got to do this. I'm busy. And on my left, now the devil goes, God, you see that? He's not even thankful. He doesn't even know that you gave it to him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God simply says this. I expect two things. I need you to be thankful, and I need you to have faith in me. If you simply have no faith in me, that makes me angry. Let's say that you promise that you're going to do something for somebody, and you have a date set that you're going to come and do some work on the property or help them out with something. And every day you get a phone call. Are you coming next week? Yeah, I said I'm coming. Have you got the tools? Yeah, I got the tools. Okay. Next day you get a call again. Are you sure you got the tools? Are you sure you're going to come? I don't think that your word is good. Now you're getting irritated. After you get 5 or 6 phone calls like that, what are you going to tell the guy? You know what? Hanging in your ear. I'm not going to do the job. You're the most unthankful, unpleasant person I ever met. Do it yourself. So this is how we treat God. We says, well, God, if it is your will, would you please do this? Would you heal that person, do this and that? And God says, if you don't have faith in me, you cannot please me. So you got to make up your mind how you're going to treat God. Then turn to Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. No idols. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or the likeness of any things in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy to thousands that love me and keep my commandments. God also have the emotion of jealousy. Let that sink in. God is simply saying this. I do not want to share you with the devil. I don't want you to go and kiss the devil and dance with the demons and then come to me and give me a little bit of attention. I want all or nothing. When people come to me for marriage counseling, I ask them this. Do you plan to be faithful to your wife or to your husband? And they said, yes. I asked the wife, is it okay if your husband, you know, has old girlfriends, and maybe once a year he can take one old girlfriend out for dinner, not do anything, just go and have dinner with her. And the woman said, absolutely not. I said, really? What's wrong with that? He's mine. So I asked the guy, would you, if your wife, you know, has some old boyfriends, and they want to take you on a little trip to Disneyland, or that's not a good place to go, but let's say go to the Bahamas for a little vacation. Will you say to your wife, oh, that's wonderful. You go for 4 days with your old boyfriend to the Bahamas for vacation? Yeah, go, woman, go. Have a good time. No. You're going to say, I don't care. You ain't going no place. Don't even try to pack your bags. I'm not going to share you with anyone. Well, that's how we deal with marriages. When it comes to God, we commit spiritual adultery all the time. And we think nothing of it. And then we wonder, why is God jealous? Because when you're jealous, there's also anger. Turn to 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He's also rejected you from being king. Because we as Americans have rejected God. He has rejected us. Think about this. Right now, close to 200,000 illegal immigrants have entered the United States in 4 months. They have not checked them for any diseases. They do not know if they're criminals. They come across. They put them on buses. They take them to airports. And today, in just about every state right now, these people are being flown in and dropped in the cities. If you try to fly into the United States regular, you got to have passport. You got to have all kind of different things. They're going to bring diseases in. They're going to bring in crime. It's going to explode for us. I mean, that's insanity. You know, I get so mad. I was at the bank the other day. And I was going to do some deposit. And the lady said, you got an identification? And I was going to say to her, that's discrimination. That's racism. I don't know how to show you an identification. But right now, listen to this. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. Who has rejected us as citizens. We're losing our country. Now, the Biden administration, they spend money, so they want some more money. And now they're going to give the IRS the rights to tie in all your banking, all your PayPal, all your transactions. Every financial institution has to report to the IRS. Whatever you do, if you get money, if you put money in your savings account, it's reported, and then they will run it through computer systems, and they think that you're getting too much money, you haven't paid taxes on it, they will come knocking on your door. they would have all the records. And the only way to operate, if you don't want to be there, is to operate in cash. And you pay cash for everything. But even if you pay cash, you try to get cash out of the bank, they're going to, if you get over $5,000, they're going to say, well, you're going to put in a note application to get the behalf, and you wait for 2 days to get the money. So rebellion makes God furious. So go to your outline here now. The God had discussed how to communicate to Moses and the Israelites that humanity is made in the image of God. And the reason mankind has emotions is that we are created in his likeness. Genesis chapter 1, and we read the following from verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. So let's just slow down for a second now, what have I been trying to tell you? We got a number of people here in the congregation today in the chapel. We never close. We always have the church open. Now, each one of us treat one another with respect. Now, after we're done here, we're going to have a song service. And after we have a song service, we're going to have people to be able to talk and discuss things. So, today, you have here Pastor Charles, his wife. You got other people here. You will see Thomas Burns a little bit. You've seen Satiris. You have seen Carol here. There's others that I'm not going to give it the names on. And, you know, how are we going to treat each other? With respect. We're not going to go up, you know, and simply go, I don't like you. I don't like the way you're dressed. I don't like the way you talk. We have learned to navigate with one another in order to get along. 2 days ago in L.A., someone cut somebody off in traffic. It was a young woman, had a child in the car, 6 years old. She didn't mean to be nasty. She made some kind of maneuver. Somebody got cut off. They had to stand on the brakes. They pulled a gun out. They started pumping bullets into the car. Didn't hurt the woman, but killed the child. Then they sped off and trying to hide. Why did they do that? They got angry. How many times have you got the finger being flipped off on the road? And you say, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. I didn't mean to do that or that. But basically, we have learned how to navigate. Have you ever thought about how to navigate with God? Now when we talked about these emotions, shouldn't we simply say, okay, God doesn't like when I rebel. God doesn't like when I got to do things for the devil. Well, I love God. I guess I shouldn't do that. If you and I will begin to treat God as well as we treat other people, he will bless our socks off. But most of us don't even think that we need to treat them anyway. We simply say, hey, you are my ATM machine. I need a healing. I need money. I need this. I need that. And God said, I am not Santa Claus. I am not an ATM machine. I have feelings. I created you. I need this from you. I want this from you. Turn to Exodus 33. And I want you to say this. 1 through 6. And the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up hence, you and your people, which you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, saying to you, see, will I give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of you. For you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. Look at that statement. Jesus said, for I will not go up in the midst of you. Jesus had told God the Father and the Holy Spirit, I have no desire to go back into the virtual realm and walk with Moses and the people to the promised land. I lost desire. We sent an angel. I'm done with them. That's a terrible thing that can happen to us human beings. When God said, I'm sick and tired of you. I sent an angel to work with you, but I will not go with you. In verse 11, in that same chapter, you find that Moses, when he found this out, he was not happy. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speak unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said to the Lord, say unto me, bring this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I find grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Moses now is having a very intimate talk with Jesus. And Jesus said, my presence shall go with you. I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. As pastors, we hear people talk to us all the time. And we hear about your problems, financial problems, marriage problems, children problems, all these kind of problems. And I'm wondering, do you have these problems because of sin? Have you ever stopped and said, I need to have a talk with God today. How am I in relationship with God? All I hear, and maybe most people hear, is this, I need God to fix this. We got to fix that. We got to fix that. We got to fix that. And God said, slow down. Fix your relationship with me first. And then come and talk to me. I learned this over the years. People would talk politics. They would talk the latest scare on the internet. The latest scoop. I mean, you know, there's never end to all that stuff. But when I asked them, how's your relationship to God? They said, oh, I don't have time to talk anymore. I really don't want to talk about that. Let's slow down. Before you can expect God to solve your problems, you need to say this. How is my relationship to Him? Do you have a relationship? Have you repented? Are you simply seeking to please Him? Or are you just simply saying, I want my marriage going, I want this, I want my job, I want more money, I want this, I want that. And God is simply saying this, I'm not interested. I'm interested in you. I want your relationship with me. That's what I'm interested in. So you learn that you're not going to get anything. You're going to go the same routine. Week after week again, same routine. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Around the block. Until you realize your problem is your personal relationship with God. If you turn to Numbers chapter 16, the people didn't recognize that Moses was a great intercessor for the people. We had there the rebellion of Korah as a cousin to Moses and how he died. But I want to pick it up here in verse number 36. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter you the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censer of these sinners against their own souls, that they make them broad plates for covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign to the children of Israel. And then we go down to verse number 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses, against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. Slow down now. The people had rebelled. God had Korah, hundreds of his men and families killed, executed. They still rebel. And now God said this, Moses, get out of the way. I am now ready to incinerate them all. Israel is God's apple of his eye. Those are his people. But he has destroyed more Israelites, more offspring of Abraham than any other nation. This is what God is saying to you and I today as American citizens. He's speaking to Moses and said, get you up from this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Our nation is facing a judgment. We do know the Antichrist is going to come. We do know that America eventually will fall and be part of a global community. But there might be a number of different steps before that happen. We got China chomping at the bits. We got Russia chomping at the bits. We got Iran and other Muslim countries just chomping at the bit to destroy us. We are not a loved people in many parts of the world. And we have taken things for granted. If the Chinese would wage war against us today, jointly with Russia, we will lose. We cannot win that war. And the only thing that holds them back is the hand of God. Have we as a nation understood this? Not really. We're thinking about our armed forces. The Russians, the Chinese, got more stuff than we have. They stole it from us. They're more dedicated than we are. We are stupid. We're in the woke. We're simply making sissies out of our soldiers. It got to be right. We got to have the gender. We got to have all that stuff. You know what the Chinese government, they don't care about. They want soldiers that can kill. We want soldiers that can cuddle. Verse 46. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there's wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. Moses realized, Aaron, let's get rolling here. God is about to wipe this people out. Let's go. How many pastors do you hear today in America saying, let's go and begin to repent. Let's change. Let's seek the Lord. Let's cry out. How many do you hear? Very few. Most of them talk about good times coming. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran in the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put an incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and living, and the plague was stayed. This is serious stuff that we are facing in this nation. Do we have a Moses? Do we have an Aaron that can stand up and simply say, God, have mercy? When you get some out of the statue of Franklin Graham standing up and saying, you know, you need to take the vaccine. If Jesus was here, he would be the first one to take the vaccine. That's blasphemy. We don't need a vaccine, the part of that goes. We need God. We need repentance. And he stood between the dead and living, and the plague was stayed. How many of you that are in the chapel today will do something about this? How many of you that are watching us today will simply say, well, I'm going to talk to people in my community. I'm going to begin to talk to people. I'm going to start interceding. You know what I foresee? It is never fails. When I finished preaching, I used to stand at the door, shake people's hand. People who came up to me said, Pastor, great message today, great message. I just can't remember what it was, but it was a great message. For 57 years, I've been preaching repentance, revival, seeking God. I get a few people here and there and joined her. But most people simply view me as too dogmatic, too radical, and they want to find someone to talk nice to them. Now that they died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses and the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. I want to close by going to Hebrews chapter 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. 3 million people left Egypt. Only those 19 years younger made it into the land of Canaan. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How many descendants of Abraham do we have today that are walking with God? There's no nation. We have a political state of Israel, but they're not walking with God. The promise that God gave has been taken away. It will not be given back to a remnant unto the thousand-year kingdom. Some 300 years ago, plus, this nation was born. The first 2-3 days they argued how to write the Constitution. And then someone of the founding fathers got smart enough and said, how can a nation rise without God? Gentlemen, we need to pray. And they prayed and asked for wisdom. And God gave them wisdom. And they got a constitution second to none. Do we value that constitution today? I would say 50% of Americans do not. It has no value to them. It's like toilet paper. It's sad. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So in other words, if I cannot turn a nation around, at least I can be walking myself with the Lord. I can reach people that are close to me. We are made partakers of Christ if you hold the beginning of our confidence, step unto the end. Why did it say today, if you will hear his voice? Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard it provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was it agreed for 40 years? Was it not them without sin whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest? But them that believed not. So we can see that. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Today, I've shared with you from the Bible that God has emotions. If you learn to treat God the way you treat people around you, you're going to go far. But we neglect God. It is not that we don't like him. We simply neglect him. We do our own thing. And then when a hammer falls on us, we say, now what? And God said, where you been, son? Where you been, my daughter? So you can see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So what are you going to do with this message now? You can do 2 things. I'm simply saying, well, service is about over. I wasted about 45 minutes on his sermon. I didn't feel very good. He was not too positive. There's a lot of negative stuff out here. I'm just going to forget everything you said. Or are you going to look at the Bible verses I gave you and begin to think, maybe I need to change. Yeah. Maybe you need to change. Maybe today you should use this afternoon to simply stop and think, how many times have you been thanking God? How many times have you kind of walked with him and talked with him as good friends do and said, God, Father, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry I didn't have faith over here. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't listen to you when I should have listened to you. I want to start over. I want you to be happy with me. I don't want you to be angry with me. I don't want you to be jealous. I don't want to be into idolatry. If I could get you to have a close relationship and really seek the Lord out, you could have a personal revival. You could have a personal revelation in your life that would change everything around you. It doesn't matter what happened around you. If you are in with God, it doesn't matter. And then if you're in with God, then you could begin to reach out to others. So the choice is yours. It's a short message, page and a half. And I preached my heart out today. I gave it the best shot. And now, first of all, those of you watch me that are not saved, this is the time to rush to the cross and say, God, I need to be saved. Father God, forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. I want to be saved. Forgive me, God. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And Jesus will. And when we finish here, the screen will change where you are. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend. And he will spend a few minutes with you, sharing some scriptures, help you to pray, so you can make sure that you are saved today. If you do that, would you call us? Would you write us? We'd like to rejoice with you. And to those of you that are walking with Christ, now, some of you have a close relationship. Some of you, this is not new, what I was preaching today. You're doing this already. Would you pray for the rest of them that are not having a close relationship? Would you pray for them? And if I described you today with the scriptures, would you have simply been all over the map except having a close relationship with God? Would you change today and say, God, forgive me. I want to know you more. I'm coming home. Let's have a talk. You do that, and great things will happen in your life. I pray that you will do that, Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today. Thank you for those that were faithful to show up to the showdown and to come out and take part. And we ask your blessing upon those that did. Thank you for those that will tune in later, that they might gain knowledge and understanding. We thank you that the Word of God goes forth into the earth, and it will accomplish what it was set out to do, according to the Word. And we thank you for the knowledge of the Word. Each and every person that is able to take knowledge of the Word and to understand it has been blessed mightily, Lord. We pray for this world that's heading headlong into the Antichrist system in most of them in total ignorance to it. And thank you for saving a few. We lift up the remnant to you, those that are called out to be the remnant. Thank you for the unification that is taking place among the remnant. And thank you for the supernatural events that are taking place. I want to lift up to you also the mini series called The Chosen, Lord. It's a great work of God. I'm blessed to have watched what I've seen so far. I thank you for continuing to crowdfund that program and that it will stay on track and not deviate, and the message will go out into the world that Jesus is the way, the only way, no matter what men say. There is one way into eternity with and life everlasting, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we thank you for our many blessings. We have much to be grateful for. Thank you, Father, for provision for the future. I am confident and comfortable that you will provide and meet our needs. And I thank you for discernment along the path. I thank you for continuing revelation also in understanding your word. And I do believe you're opening it up as we see things unfold in front of us. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read one verse that's happened to like. And it's Hebrews 3:6. It says, "But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." So, the house of God is a construct of the believers in God that have become born-again believers. You can't be a Christian by being born into it. You have to become born again. That means born of water and born of the Spirit. So, this is a good word here. It says, rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So, that's it. And I also want to say, I hate that face mask program in the world today, and I will not comply with it. And it's right out of hell. And that's what I think. Have a good day.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 21st part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, God Has Emotions Too. The Godhead wants to create and develop things, take pleasure in humanity, and bless us in all things. The Hebrews failed to understand that God can experience emotions, and it is possible to trigger a negative response if He is provoked. Jesus was furious with the Israelites' incessant doubt and unbelief, idolatry, and persistent rebellion. This is why the Son of God told Moses that He no longer wanted to accompany the Hebrews into the Promised Land. An angel would do it instead. Moses interceded, and Jesus was moved by His determination and relented. Many Christians are just as spiritually dense as the Hebrews in the wilderness. Mankind was created in the image of God. This includes a spectrum of positive and negative emotions. God is an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent being with emotions. It is therefore prudent to walk circumspectly so that you don't provoke Him. Love Him just as He loves you. Be wise and respect Him. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1809. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, May God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.